Well, good morning. I hope you had a good night's sleep. How are we doing back there?
That's pretty cool.
He glued it. You get it? It glued it. Did you get it? He glued it.
Okay.
I got it because I have a 9-year-old brain. We're on page 37. Well, welcome back. Hope you had a good night's sleep. Got a couple subjects to cover this morning. How prayer is related to evangelism. Bruce is going to do a bunch of teaching on how important prayer is to this process. And then we're going to take a break, half an hour break, and I heard a rumor there's some bagels coming or something, some goodies. And then we're going to talk about how we can move our friends to a personal, deeper than the surface conversations. How do you start moving that conversation at McDonald's or wherever and start bringing in spiritual conversations? If you have your Live as a Witness book, if you've been using that, I read it this morning and I thought it was good enough that, well, they're all good enough, but I thought I'd read it for December 14. It's on page 369 if you brought your book. It's also, get this online. 1 Timothy, I thank him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful, appointing me to his service, though formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, and insolent opponent. But I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Just imagine Paul on that road. His whole life goal was to persecute. Loud voice. You know, he's a blasphemer, he's persecuting Christians, and he meets Christ. And part of my story, I knew of Jesus, but it wasn't until I was 27 that I accepted him. Part of God's purpose in saving you was to put you on display for others who need his grace. That's exactly what Bruce was talking about last night. Do you sometimes look at the actions of others and think to yourself, I would never behave the way they do, or say to yourself, I would never talk like that? Or conversely, do you sometimes look at other believers and think, I could never do what they do, or say to yourself, I could never be as good as they are? In either case, if you do, you have an unhealthy view of the gospel. Today, God wants you to realize that you have been saved by his grace and by his mercy. He has given you a story of his grace in your life to share with others. Not to keep to yourself. Why do we keep it to ourselves? The gospel says that you are a sinner saved by grace. You are no better or worse than any other. Where unbelievers are is where you used to be. You have received God's mercy. He is patient with you so that you may be patient with those who don't yet know him. God doesn't want you to judge others, but be willing to journey with them through faith in Jesus Christ. Say this. Thought that was really good tie-in to last night about people are watching us. And I've had a number of experiences like that where people I barely knew in the business world came to me with problems because they had heard me read a devotional at a YMCA board meeting or something, and they picked me out. And so you never know who is watching you. Let's do a little recap. Of yesterday, we talked about the journey people take towards Jesus. I just like to have some of you share with the group. What did that session, how did that impact you last night, the steps? You said you're already doing that on your app and thing. You talked a lot about this, but what specifically last night did you learn that added to that? Or have you seen it in practice with someone you're working with?
Just reiterated that it's a process.
Okay.
We're part of it, and we don't want to get from the amounts to get all the way to. It's not our goal. Our goal is just, I just stopped myself, sorry. Our goal is to just like meet them to build that relationship, and then it's okay to just get to a certain point.
Okay, so it's more of a process than a point. We're coming, like the devotional just said, we're going on a journey with them. And I think back, and you can probably think back, if you know, praise the Lord, if you were raised in a Christian home and you accepted Christ at an early age, that's my wife's testimony. She said, you know, I don't have a very dramatic testimony. I grew up loving Jesus. And I said, that's the best testimony a person can have. But for those of you who came later in life, as you think about the people, I look back and look at the steps that I wasn't even aware were happening. In high school, I was put into a choir, our concert choir. We went on national tours. We sang religious music. And I didn't even know what I was singing back then, but now I go back and listen to that scratchy recording I have. And I hear the word, and I thought, man, God was using that in my heart to expose himself to me and just others along the way. So anyone have a particular experience where you saw this in action where maybe the person was at minus 10, you got them to minus 9, and what was that like? Anybody particularly who recently helped someone make a new step? Okay, well, just keep working on it, thinking about it. I think it gives us parameters to think about when we're meeting people. And there's steps along the journey. And that's what we're doing. We want to look at page 37. And what I'm going to do is split you into two groups. So I want these four tables on your right side of the room to take the Ephesians 6, 18 to 20 passage at your table. I want these three tables on the left side to concentrate on the Colossians 4, 2 to 4. And what I want you to do is, whoever's wearing the most white in your table is the leader. We're talking about outer clothing. Not, we're not talking about underwear. We're talking about outer clothing, the one with the most white. You're the leader. And I want you to deal with the question, what lessons is the Apostle Paul trying to teach us regarding these passages? So wrestle with that for a few minutes, and we'll call back and we'll have you share your answers. So what do we learn from the Apostle Paul regarding prayer for evangelism? So leader, you or someone read the verses and then discuss it for a few minutes. Go. let's take some time. We're going to share with each other now some of the answers you got. And while the tables that are sharing the scripture you didn't have, you may want to write down your answers. And my assistant, Vanna White, is going to write the answers. Keeping with the theme of the day, what kind of lettuce do penguins like the most? Iceberg. That's going to be a theme all day long, I'm warning you. Okay, we're going to come over here to our Ephesians group, and Vanna's going to write the answers up on the board. So give me one answer for each table, and we'll go around. So over here, who's the leader over here? Okay. White? Oh, you got it on your sweatshirt. Okay. Give me one thing you came up with.
You're an ambassador to your representation.
Say it again.
You're an ambassador in a representation.
Okay. Did I get that right? Okay. Who's leading here? Okay.
That we are fearlessly to proclaim his word.
Okay. Did you get that? To proclaim? Okay. Boy, there's not a lot of white over there at that table. Who has the biggest name tag?
Well, I'm a leader that kind of delegates. And so I guess one of the main things that I think we came up with is that we're supposed to pray about everything all the time, but this is asking us more towards, I think, keep in mind that we're praying for evangelism as well, and with the focus on that. And if anybody else has anything to say,
be in prayer at all time. I dropped the ball. I was going to read the verse so you guys know what we're talking about. So let me read Ephesians 6. Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I might declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Okay, table back here.
We said keep alert, look for things to pray for everyone, pray for everything.
Yeah, and that kind of ties into the sentness. You know, you walk out the door, okay, I'm going to be alert today. I'm not just going to, you know, my wife has taught me over the years, I was one of those vacation guys that the destination was the vacation, not the journey. You know, I'm just zooming to get to Disney World or something. And you know, kids bugging me on the way, wasn't a real happy camper. Now I've learned, no, it's the journey. Be in the moment as you go. So doing that and thinking about that, how God's going to use you. Okay, let's throw it open to you four tables. What other things did you come up with, anybody, at these four tables? Okay.
Praying no matter what your circumstances. I was just thinking about how he was in jail, like, while he's writing the letters, and he's still praying, and he's still encouraging others to pray. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's that wording, I am an ambassador in chains. So literally, he's in chains, but I think we need to figuratively look at that. We're in chains to the gospel. We're chained to it. It's an obligation for us to have that mindset. Okay, what else over here from Ephesians? Come on, I'm looking for one that's, come on, really apparent. Back here.
For God's word not to.
Open my mouth. Open my mouth, you know. You know, I've been there sometimes. You know, you're meeting with somebody and they say, well, I'm going to be looking at this question tomorrow in my sermon. How could a loving God allow suffering? That's one of the most negative questions we're going to be getting in today's world. How could you believe in a God that allows all the suffering? You're going, and you go, Lord, give me an answer. And it's amazing how he'll pop something in your mind. And okay, I saw a couple of hands.
Boldly.
Speak boldly.
I mean, sometimes that's hard to do. I think it depends on the circumstances.
Yeah.
But I think as you go in, you know, as mentioned, to pray about it, and hopefully you can be bold.
Speak boldly. We need to balance that with speak the truth, but speak it in love. Because we don't want to say, well, you're a vile sinner. You know, we want to speak boldly, but we want to speak it with love and grace. Anything else from Ephesians that we don't have on the, that Vanna doesn't have on the board? I'm sorry. Quit calling you Vanna.
I mystery. I like how to proclaim the mystery of the gospel because there's just so much in his word that, you know, sometimes it's like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that. I mean, even though I've read several times, it's just sometimes like, whoa.
Yeah, we were talking about this morning. Bruce was reading his devotional this morning. He saw something he'd never seen before. You know, how that comes up. Oh, wow, that's something I hadn't really seen. So it's a mystery. And so we're not probably going to be able to fully explain it in human terms with our knowledge, but we can tell them, how did the mystery impact my life? Okay, let's hear it for the Ephesians people. Good job. I expect your papers on my desk, but okay, never mind. Colossians 4, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in that with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear with which is how I ought to speak. Boy, a lot of the same thing. So let's see. Let's start back here. That table, I don't know who's in white back there, but... Oh, yes, you have white.
I have white.
Okay, good.
So we noticed that Paul asked them to pray with a grateful heart, and, you know, Paul's in prison, so that makes it all the more impressive that that's on his mindset.
Yeah, to be thankful for your circumstances. Okay, back over here then in the corner.
Hey.
Okay.
So got the white hair. We focused on devoting yourselves to pray. It's an intentional thing. It's not a secondary side thing. It's a do this first, do it intentionally, devote yourselves.
How any suggestions on how we do that? You set a time? Do you?
Well, yes, that's what we realize when you don't schedule something or you don't make it a habit or part of your routine, then it's not going to happen. Because if you do it when you feel like it, or do it when the schedule is open, when is it going to be open? So we talked about being intentional with it and making it a specific time, whatever that works for people. But
yeah, you know, it's amazing what we can do on these smartphones and set little messages for you maybe two or three times a day. Just, hey, remember to pray. And, oh, yeah, okay, I'm driving. I mean, I think about that, how often I tend to turn on the news when I'm in the car or something and just listen to junk when I could be praying and thinking, you know, instead of yelling at that guy that just cut me off, I probably will still yell at him, but pray for him too. Pray for me. So, okay, how about here? Well, we know who's the leader here. He's wearing his snow suit.
So we went with every time we pray that when we open our mouth, we make Christ plain as day.
Okay. That God will bring clarity to our words when we open our mouth. So a lot of the same, you see the same things in these passages? Okay, let's throw it open to the whole Colossians group over here as a group. What other ones have we got? She's trying to pass the microphone, and no one is accepting it.
We pray with the knowledge that God is the one doing the work, not us.
Okay. God is doing the work, not us.
I just really appreciate the watchfulness mixed in with that too, that sense of like you're watching to see what God's going to do, and you're eager to see what God's going to do, and so there's that sense of anticipation that as you pray that God will work and we'll be ready to jump in and do our part.
The other thing we mentioned was Paul says to pray that I proclaim it clearly, that I make it clear. So he's relying not on himself. He's asking, like we said earlier too, he's asking God for the words. He's not relying on his own words to speak.
Yeah. And I think that in the second sentence, that phrase, that God may open to us a door for the word, that sentence again, that's, okay, Lord, I'm walking out the door. Open a door for me today. You know, open a door for me to be able to share with someone today. So we've got a lot of good ones up here.
You don't even know. You didn't turn around.
But once again, I do like your outfit, Vanna. It's very, very good. Yeah, I mean, boldly, I mean, all that is great. So we're going to see a video here of an American missionary reporting back to their supporting churches, which is, you know, that's, we have a missionary that's been in Turkey for years and years, 20 years. And he says, supporters come and supporters go, because I can't share with them. We had 20 conversions this year. Because what people don't realize is that this is a sowing time in Turkey. It's not a reaping time in Turkey. And so it's hard for missionaries to send letters back to justify their donors with them. Pay attention when you watch this to how the role that prayer plays in the spread of the gospel as they share their testimony. Let's watch this together.
One of the believers, she said, this is a story that has to be told. I have to tell my people. They have to know about the one true God.
ก่อนหน้านี้คิดว่าทำไมชนชาติไทยใหญ่ต้องเกิดมาแล้วรู้สึกว่าต่ำต้อยอะไรเงี้ยพระเจ้าก็ดูแลพระเจ้าไม่ได้ทอดทิ้งถึงแม้ว่าขอบคุณพระเจ้าแล้วก็เห็นถึงการอัศจรรย์ในคำอธิษฐาน
About 5 years ago, my husband and I began to pray about where God would have us to minister in the city that we live in. He led us to these migrant workers. I began to prayer walk around their village.What we quickly learned about the people is they do construction work, and as they complete a construction site, then they move to the next site, but they don't move all as one unit. And so that was a tremendous opportunity for multiplication of the gospel. And if we could start churches there, then they could take the gospel back to their home country.
We've been praying a while for the migrant workers here, and of course we prayed a lot about them knowing who Jesus is and worshiping the one true God. We've had so many people say we've never heard this story before. We always think that everybody's heard about Jesus, but there are so many people that really have never heard. I mean, I can attest to that this week.
As you walk into any one of these villages, you can just feel it's like something heavy on your chest. You can just feel the darkness around you. It's at those times that we just really have to cry out to God for these people. We always pray as we are going into villages and as we're prayer walking around villages that God would make himself known. That is where Americans can help, and the American church, we beg them to just intercede for these people, for the darkness that's there.
People don't think that they make a difference, like if you're not on the field, and that is totally not true. Even if you spend time in prayer, you're helping in a huge way.
ผมคิดว่าการอธิษฐานก็เป็นสิ่งที่สำคัญเมื่อเราฝากคำอธิษฐานนั้นไว้กับพระเจ้าเราเห็นว่าพระเจ้าก็ทรงอวยพรและทรงนำ
The most encouraging thing has been just to see believers, to see them grow in their relationship with Christ, and to see them want to share with others. One of the believers, everyone that comes into her village, she shares Christ with. She began to share on her phone. She called hours away to the capital city. She began to share with all her family. She said, I have six that want to believe in Christ. Later we learned that she was challenging these people just like we were challenging her. Two of the men, the leaders of those groups, they decided they had to take that back. And so they are now in their home country sharing the gospel. We know that only God can do that. And so we just need intercession for these people. The vision was to see a church planted in every village and them ultimately take that gospel back. That is beginning to happen. So for that, we rejoice. But we do ask the churches in America just to continue to pray.
I've kind of struggled with the notion of prayer over the years. Like I said, I've grown up in a Christian home and some ideas on prayer, and they probably all have validity, but it's like, when I pray, God works. Do my prayers actually impact God's work? I've also heard it expressed this way, and this is part of my heart too, is like, I want to align my heart with His, right? So is that the purpose of prayer, just to kind of figure out what freeway he's running on, or does my prayer actually make a difference? And I'm pulling out my phone because in my quiet time this morning, I'm reading through the Bible over a couple of years, and I, like Bob said, I saw something that I had never seen before, and it does relate somewhat to prayer. So it's Acts chapter 13, and they're going to end up sending Paul and Barnabas out. But the chapter starts off listing the guys that are in this group from which they're going to choose. It says, now there were in the church in Antioch prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, a lifelong friend of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. Now, I've been in the church so long that I go, well, of course it's going to be Barnabas and Saul. But the name that I never stopped and thought about before was Manaen, a lifelong friend of Herod the Tetrarch. Think about that. Wouldn't you think logically that's the guy you're going to choose to go and be a missionary? Look at his connections. He knows Herod, like the son of Herod the Great. And then it says, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, which includes the prayer, the Holy Spirit said, I want Barnabas and Saul. And they sent these guys off. So how does prayer impact the way, not only that way that we think, but how God actually works? Do we actually believe that when we pray, God works, or that God responds to our prayers? And the answer is yes. A couple of things with that. So does prayer impact? And so now you're on page 38. I forgot to tell you about if you're tracking along. Does prayer impact God's activity? Yes, it does. Exactly how, I mean, probably only God knows that. But second, in a sense, the Bible is the story of people who prayed and God answered. If you look at Scripture, little tickle. If you look at Scripture, you can't read it and not come away with the idea that God is responding to prayers. Think about Abraham and his prayers, Moses, Joseph, even though there's a long delay in there of him sitting in prison for a couple of years, David. Oh my goodness, we have so many prayers of David. I just got this little tickle in my throat. I'm going to get a bottle of water. Whoops, I stepped outside the box. I didn't get electrocuted though. Wow, they told us not to leave the box. So.
Strike one.
What?
Strike one.
Oh, I won't do it again. David, a lot of his prayers are recorded as these poems in the book of Psalms, and all over the map. I'm having a great day. Praise you, Lord. I wish you'd kill my enemies. And everything in between, right? Daniel, in his prayers, told not to pray. He prays anyway, gets in trouble, that whole story. Jesus, his prayers, some of them recorded in Scripture. Wouldn't you have loved to sit there with Jesus in the quietness and listen to him talk to his Father? Like, what would that have been like? And his humility to say, you know, at the end, like, Father, this is what I wish. I wish that there was another plan, but I'll do whatever you want. I'll do whatever you want. The Apostle Paul in some of his prayers as well. The Bible is the story of people who praise and God answered. Here's another line for you. I'll get rid of this yet. Look at any great move of God in history, from the Exodus to Pentecost to the great revivals to great missionary movements of salvation, whether they were in whole nations, churches, or individuals, it has always been God's response to persistent prayer. A number of years ago, I read a book on the Great Awakenings in America. Both of them, or all of them, were preceded by long periods of community-wide prayer. And I don't want to make that like a formula, like if we do A plus B equals C, but these massive movements of God that happened just even in the United States in the 1700s and 1800s, people were praying collectively, and God answered and responded to that. So this whole lesson tonight, this morning, is like, so what is the role of prayer in evangelism? And none of you are going to have, none of you came in and going, oh, we're going to talk about prayer again. I suppose that's important. You all understand that, but in what way is it important? Sorry, again, prayer is a lifestyle. Here's a line that we've got for you in your notes, and there's a blank to fill in. Here's the first. You cannot have a witnessing lifestyle without a praying lifestyle. You can't have a witnessing lifestyle without a praying lifestyle. Now, think of all the different ways in which we use the word lifestyle. You can have a workaholic lifestyle that defines you because you work. Oh, even a silly one, like a posh lifestyle is like, oh, I'm rich, so I'm spending all this money. So what does it look like to have a prayerful or a lifestyle that is a witnessing lifestyle with prayer behind it? There's really two kinds of prayers, and I found this very helpful for myself. It's like, oh, this makes a lot of sense. The one we call foreground prayer. I'll give you a second to write that word down, foreground prayer. So we define that as focused prayer at a specific time and place. Maybe you're interacting with Scripture. Maybe you're enjoying God's presence, listening to God request. For me, I have my quiet time in the morning, my Scripture reading. I do a bit of journaling. And then I kind of do two. Confession. If I sit down in a lazy boy and pray, about 5 minutes later, I'm not conscious anymore, just to be honest with you. So I have to do something. So what I do is, we have a dog, we have a golden retriever, and we have our son's dog for the last little while. So what I do is I, now even in winter, I bundle up, I take the dogs, and I go on a prayer walk. And they do their business, and I do mine, but they're very different business. And I'm a routine guy, so there's a couple of routes that I like to walk. We live on kind of the edge of town, and there's a mile walk out, and then it's a mile walk back, and I've kind of given myself a little more freedom. So I'm one of those church kids that grew up. It's like, you need to fold your hands, bow your heads, and pray. I've gotten a lot more free in that now. So I walk. Sometimes it's thinking through Scripture. It's sometimes my list of people that I'm praying for, my family, things with ministry that we're doing. Sometimes I'm just using it as a time of, Lord, if you have anything to say to me, I'm just going to be quiet for a while. And the interesting thing about, as I walk along this way, there's probably about 10 homes. I really walk out to the edge of town into this field. I turn around and come back. I've met almost everybody who lives along my little route in one way or another. I can tell you their names. The one guy has Parkinson's. I've learned this summer he was waiting to find out when he was having knee replacement surgery. One guy, his wife died a couple of years ago. One time, a year or so ago, while it was in the summer, of course, he was mowing his lawn, and he was looking around in his lawn, and I stopped, we had the dogs, and I said, hey, what's going on? He goes, I was mowing, and my watch fell off my wrist, and I can't find it. I'm like, Lord, this seems like an opportunity. And so I said, well, I'll help you. Oh, he said, you don't have to do that. It's like, it's not that big a deal. No, I'll be glad to look. And sure enough, I found the watch, and I didn't share the gospel at that point, but God used even my prayer time to be able to interact with somebody in a brief way. And here's a sideline to that. Dogs and kids are great attractions. And I mean that in the very best sense of the words. Like, golden retrievers, you can't not like a golden retriever. They're just so nice, and they're pathetic is really what they are. But anytime I'm walking and somebody's outside, it's like, oh, your dogs are so nice. And then they come over and they pet the dogs, and it's a way to make a connection. We have somebody, they've moved from our town now, but when their three little kids were little, every time she went to the grocery store, her kids were attracted. She ended up in a conversation with people, often prayed with people in the grocery store. So even these things are like, all that to say is foreground prayer is when we have this dedicated time with the Lord, even if it's kind of goofy, creative dogs, kids, but my mind is focused in that direction. Here's the second kind of prayer. We call it background prayer. It's like background music is taking place all the time behind your focused activities and encounters. So you're at work, you're at school, you're at wherever you are, and you just have a mindset of, you know, you think somebody comes to mind, and it's kind of that what I call a breath prayer. And scripturally, I've always kind of liked the story of Nehemiah. If you're familiar with the story of Nehemiah, in chapter 1, he gets the bad news from Jerusalem that the city's in ruins, and he just drops into prayer, and it says he prayed for days and weeks and months. So he's got this focused time of prayer. So after, I think it's 4 months, he gets summoned before the king because he's the cupbearer. The king says, hey, why is your face downcast? And he says, well, how could it not be downcast? My city's in ruins. And the king says, so what do you want? And in fact, his actual words were, what are you requesting? And it says that he prayed. And we know that Nehemiah didn't go, excuse me, I'm going to drop down right here and pray for an hour and a half, and then I'll tell you what I'm requesting. This would be one of those, in the moment, Lord, here we go. I've been praying this whole time purposefully, but now in this moment, my mindset is, give me what I need to say right now. And he said, this is how long I'd like to be gone. This is what I'd like to do. I'd like these letters. So the difference between those two kinds of prayers is like, the difference between foreground prayer would be like going to a concert because your goal is to hear the music. Background prayer is like having the background music playing while you're cleaning the house or, you know, driving tractor or whatever it is that you're doing. So our mindset is that the purpose of this whole lesson is, and we've already looked at some scriptures that way, is what role does prayer play in evangelism? Well, there's already at least two kinds of prayer. But we should be able to see that scripturally, and you already did it, so you've already primed the pump. I'm going to look at the two passages you did and break them down the same way you did, and then add a couple of more. And really, you came up with the things that I'm going to do, so hopefully this is just reaffirming. You're going to see on the bottom of page 38, three different passages of Scripture, and then on the next page as well. If you're an obsessive compulsive like me, it's like, let me fill in the blank first, then I'll enjoy the verse. We're going to do it backwards. So for those of you who are going like, I'm waiting, my pen is ready, it's in my hand, I'm ready to fill in the blank, wait. Let's look at the passage, then I'll give you the blank to fill in. So, you already read this, but let me show you with some underlines the things that you've already saw. Continue steadfastly in prayer. So there's a persistence. I'm not going to give up. Tom, last night, was it your uncle you've been praying for 50 years? That's persistent prayer. That not giving up, continue steadfastly in prayer. It's like, I'm not going to let this one go until you show me something else or that you answer this prayer. Second one, being watchful in it. I love that sense of anticipation. God, I don't know what you're going to do. I don't know when you're going to do it. I don't know how you're going to do it, but you're going to do something. Oftentimes, it's not the way I would suggest that he would answer my prayer. But there's this anticipation of, all right, let's go, however you want to do this. Again, you've unpacked most of this. I'm just showing you some light with thanksgiving. And if you're a cynic, like I sometimes am, you go, he hasn't answered my prayer yet. It's like, if somebody does me a favor, I say thank you. Have you ever said thank you to someone before they did you a favor? So in Paul's prayer, think of what he's saying is, even before you answer my prayer, and I don't know how you're going to answer my prayer for Joe or Sally or whoever I'm praying for, I'm going to start thanking you now. Because even if I don't get the answer to my prayer the way I wanted it now, sometime in eternity, you're going to say, here's what I was doing, and you're going to go, oh, wow, I never saw that coming. What are we praying for? He says, pray also for us. And I don't think I'm unique being a North Dakotan. You guys are still Midwesterners, too. We don't like to ask for help. We're the pick yourselves up by your own bootstraps people. This is the Apostle Paul, right? This is the guy that we put way up here on our Christian pedestal. He's going, would you please pray for us? Please pray for us. Like, oh, okay. And what is it that we want God to do? He says, that God may open to us a door for the word. I'll give you more of that in just a second. What is that door? One of you mentioned the mystery of Christ. I learned this a long time ago. A mystery in the New Testament, the definition of that I got was, it's something that was previously unknown or unrevealed that has now become clear. So the whole Old Testament pointing forward to Jesus Christ, they didn't know exactly what that was going to look like. Now that Jesus has come, he's lived, he's died, he's gone back to heaven, it's like, that's the mystery that the whole Old Testament was pointing toward, and now we know who it is. Now we know who it is. Here's the other thing that he's saying. He says, this is my prayer that I can make it clear. Somebody mentioned that in one of your comments, but it's like, it's amazing. Like, I'll say this very badly. I'm a professional communicator, but you put me at lunch and I get to the Gospels. My mouth is dry. I don't know what words are coming out of my mouth. That's a great prayer. So for the obsessive compulsives, what do you suppose your blank is? God, open a door. Thank you very much. Their heart's not going to open unless God opens it. Despite my workaholicism, and it's like, maybe there's something here that I can do. Oh, and I should have clicked on that. God, open a door for my witness. One of the guys that I'm connect with every couple of months for lunch or so, I referenced him, he's my eye doctor. He's like, man, that door is opening really slowly. And it's like, man, can't you? Logically, it's like, after all this time, come on. And he's a great guy. I'm not putting him down at all, but it's like, this is my prayer. You got to open, Lord, can you open the door, even a crack. So that's number one. Here's the second one. This was not a passage you looked at, but it'll fit right in. Again, I'll give you the blank after we unpack it. Paul, again, to the Thessalonians, he says, pray for us. Again, that's great. Don't be afraid to ask people to pray. And in fact, I probably will mention this later, but when I'm going to lunch with one of the guys on my list or coffee or whatever it is, I've got three guys in my group that I'll say, I'm going to lunch with Blaine, would you guys pray? And they'll do a thumbs up emoji or say, on it, something like that. I'm inviting them to say, I don't know where the conversation is going to go, will you guys pray? So pray for us. What does he want in prayer? That the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored. So the pace of what you're going to do, Lord, I don't know. It could be slow. It could be fast. It could be beating my head against a wall. I don't know how this is going to go, but you're in charge of that. But look at what he says here. He's got a reference for them. He says, as happened among you. So he says, I want you who were impacted by the gospel yourselves to pray for us, because you saw this happen, and you saw, now what is it that happened? We won't go there, and we won't show it on the screen, but that's the reference for it. You can write it down. Here's what 1 Thessalonians 2:13 is. So this is the testimony of what happened to them. We also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it, not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you believers. So I'm praying that God will do for them what God did for you, and that it opened up, and you received it, and you accepted it. So here's what our word is. I should have asked you first if you would have figured it out. Lord, open their hearts. The word wasn't used in that verse, but I need a door open so we can have a conversation. But what they really need is a change of heart. And that's what he's saying is, it's not going to happen the speed with which it happens, the honor that you're going to get from how it happens. You saw it happen in your own life. Pray that that happens in them too. And again, as we referenced last night, how can that be accelerated? Sometimes it's with a crisis, either good or bad. A child graduating, getting married, a first grandchild, or your first baby, the negative side, cancer, you've shared stories like that. Somehow, Lord, to get to their heart is the key. So far, so good. Makes sense? Here's the third one. This is one of your passages again, so this will all be a refresher because you unpacked almost everything I've got here. Love this, praying at all times in the Spirit. I want to have that mindset of what is your mind, what is your heart? I want to have a mindset of whether it's formal foreground prayer or background prayer, I want to have that mindset with me all the time. You guys raised that. Keeping alert with all perseverance. I reference that. How I do it, I go out with the dogs and I walk, no matter whether it's cold or hot. Perseverance, I'm going to stick to it because he's the only one that can change a heart. So I'm going to keep knocking until he tells me not to knock or until something opens up. What are we praying? Making supplication or request for all the saints. Now that's interesting. Saints. Is a saint a Christian or a non-Christian? It's a Christian. So not only are we praying for the lost to come, I'm also praying for people who are connected to other peoples, like, Lord, you're going to use your kids in this mission field. But Paul's saying, pray also for me. And I may have referenced this last time. I think it's going to be very interesting to meet Paul one day. I think I grew up with probably appropriate, a Sunday school understanding of Paul is like, this guy is the best of the best of the best. He probably walked in a room and the room was crackling like the Holy Spirit. Then people were just like, I want to get saved right now. If you look kind of, especially in some of the later epistles and some of his writings, I don't think that's what Paul was like, honestly. We can have this argument later. And he himself said he's more impressive in his writing than in his presence. I think he's going to be very different when we meet him than what our impression of his. I don't think he just walked in a room and commanded attention. He seems to say of himself, I'm a pretty unimpressive person. So that's why Paul says, pray for me. So you think, well, Pastor, you know, we can talk about Josh because he's not here, right? We'll just turn the recording off for right now. Josh is amazing. Josh walks on water. He does great things. He's leading this church so well, and he does. But it's like, do you all pray for Josh to be a witness? It's like, in fact, having been a pastor for 20-some years, it's like, we pastors, we live in this Christian bubble all day long, all the time. We know we should interact with the lost. We don't have time for it because we're so busy dealing with you all, right? Sorry. Yeah, that's step on eight. You don't have any problems in this church, do you? You're like, let's just move on, shall we? What are we praying for here? That words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, which you talked about, that I may declare it boldly. So what is our principle here? While I'm in prison, our word is, God, open my mouth to speak boldly. God, open my mouth to speak boldly. You're writing that word down. I'll wait a second. One of my friends back in Devil's Lake, he owns the car dealerships in our town, a town of 7,500 people. Really great guy, an amazing businessman. A couple of years ago, we were talking about, he said, Bruce, what do you suppose the hardest thing it is for me to train my salespersons to say? And I said, I don't know. He said, he says, I have to push and push and push and push. He says, this is the thing I have the hardest thing in training my salespeople. He says, this is the line he has to keep telling him. Sir, ma'am, would you like to buy this car? And I said, what are you talking about? They're salespeople. They're probably all extroverts, right? They're like, of course. He goes, no, you wouldn't believe it. They can tell them about the car. They can tell them about the features of the car. They can tell you why it's better to trade in what they have for this new car. He says, I can't get them to say, would you like to buy this car? Did you see the parallel? That's where I get tongue-tied. It's like, I can talk about Jesus. I can talk about the gospel. I may even share the gospel, but I get to that point and go, Joe, what would keep you from trusting Jesus Christ today? It's like, I can't get that to come out of my mouth. So what he's saying here is, Lord, would you open my mouth with boldness to be able to say it when I need to say it? Did that happen? So if you go backwards to the book of Acts, look at how they prayed and how God answered. This will be now. There isn't any blank for you, but we just want to see how this prayer worked out. I don't know why that tickle is there. So here was their prayer. Grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with boldness. Look at to whom they're addressing the Lord. Lord, you're the one who can help me open my mouth, who can help me have the boldness, who can make these things that I'm afraid to say come out of my mouth with some kind of clarity. And look what happened in response to their prayer. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. They continued to speak the word of God with what? Boldness. Yes?
We talked about boldness. I oftentimes think to myself people, and back up, not being very aware of my shortcomings.
Sure.
So one thing I'm learning is that also boldness and confidence impact the person who adopts you. You know, but they may be hurt up in our Lord.
That's great.
A certain piece of low key is like, oh, it's what? Okay, maybe, you know, I don't know just all the dynamics behind it, but I feel like that.
Well, that's perfect. That's perfectly said. Let's think of my car salesman thing. What if the guy is showing you, you know, what the new car is and what yours is worth, and he's like, I don't know. I mean, I think this is better than what you have. Is this really something you want to think about doing? What if the salesman came in with that kind of head-hanging approach? You'd go, I don't know, do you really want to sell me? So I think that's a great point. We're not arrogant, but we have good news. And if it's good news, why would we not? Yeah. So you're preaching the sermon right to me. That's very well said. I like that a lot. I like that a lot. Anybody else think of something of how you're kind of processing what this is like? That's a great comment. All right, so let's go on. A couple more things there. They prayed for boldness. God gave them boldness at the right time. And then you know what happened in the early chapters of Acts and how many thousands of people were saved, just this Pentecost movement. So here's 5 exclamation points. There is only one thing in the middle to write, and I'll tell you that in a minute. So I'll just give you these for now just to think about as we kind of wind down this section. A ministry mindset of sentness and praying, both foreground and background prayers, goes together. So I want to have times in my day or a time a day when I actually am focused on prayer. No matter what model you use, the Acts model, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication, whatever you like to use. But I want to go through my day and not so much fill it with things on the radio or podcasts or whatever it is that we're tuned to or the TV being on. Just like, I want to give myself space where even in the background, my mind is on the people that I'm praying for, or what God's doing around the world. Here's 2. Prayer is the most important part of living as a witness. We can teach you all the tips and tricks, and nothing that we've taught you is stuff that you haven't heard before. It's kind of how we package it. But honestly, prayer is the key to the whole thing. Who told me this story? I can't remember the story. But anyway, you can mess up your gospel presentation so bad that you go, this is horrible. Oh, it was Bob's message himself. He's told this before. Blew the presentation up badly and then still asked the question of, so you wouldn't want to become a Christian? And they said, yes. Like, really? That's God's work. Here's the third. Here's where you're going to write something. Think of something very specific to ask God for this week regarding your witness, be specific and write it in your notes now. So you've got a couple of lines. I'll just give you 60 seconds. In light of what we've been saying, you got a few things last night, maybe you're processing. Is there a specific prayer? I know we're only we're less than 2 weeks away from Christmas. Write down a specific prayer that you'd love to see God answer this next 7 days. I'll give you 60 seconds for that. Give you a few more seconds. Doesn't have to be very big, but something you're going to say, I'm going to pray about this. I want to see God. This is what I'd like to see God do in the next week. Might just be a step. See some pens moving yet? Some of you are done. So this might be a page you want to star or dog ear a little bit. It's like, start praying that and just go, let's see. And so when you're with your accountability partner, again, whether you text or whether you have coffee or lunch or breakfast, whatever, go, so what did you do? What did you do? And again, we're less than 2 weeks away from Christmas. Who knows what that's going to be? All right, here's the other two. Don't wait for faith before you pray. Start praying and watch your faith grow as God starts answering. I think sometimes we give the impression if you just had more faith, God would do X, Y, and Z. This is just kind of flipping it around and go, don't wait for that to happen. Watch what happens to your faith as God begins to like, oh, wow, great. So now I'm going to pray this. And then here's the last. Satan hates it when you pray about your witness. Your sin nature hates it. So it won't be easy to build this into your life. So don't be surprised when a day or two or a week or a month goes by and you go, wow, and that even happens to me too. It's like, I've got a variety of things that I'm praying for, even on these walks or whether I'm having a different kind of prayer time. It's like, man, I haven't prayed for, fill in the blank, the names of the guys on my list for a while. I got to get back at that. And not just praying for them and their salvation, but like we said last night, for steps along the way. Where are they at? What would it take to get to the next step? So prayer has got all these components in it. So here's what we're going to do next. This is, and I'll stick with you on this. We're going to spend some time in prayer in some little kind of segments of prayer. And here's the first. Excuse me. There's nothing to write down in your notes. We're just going to do this. First, we're going to spend the next couple of minutes just praying alone, silently, over the lifestyle priorities in light of where you are from 1 to 10. The lifestyle priorities are back on page 12. We've given you three of them so far. So if you want to temporarily or just flip your page open to those three things, the 1 to 10 is the reference that we asked you to just kind of score where you see yourself at this present moment. Not to make you feel bad, but to say to establish a baseline that this number is going to go up. So why don't you just look those over, take 3 or 4 minutes, and I'll give you some time stamps along the way. I'll say in a minute, got another minute to pray, and just pray silently, and then we're going to do a couple of other prayer times after that as well. So go into prayer on your own, silently, and I'll let you know here in a couple minutes when we switch.
Give you just another minute. Okay, let's wrap that time of prayer up. I'm going to do another short segment of prayer, this time at your tables. Again, if you're not comfortable, that's totally fine. There's enough of you at tables. Pray your very specific prayer for this week. Pray for open doors, open hearts, open my mouth. You might have already an example to think about that in prayer, or maybe you're just going to pray for those things, or maybe one of those three is really kind of popping up. So at your tables, we'll just have 3 or 4 minutes here, just short prayers. Pray however you'd like for those three things or any of those three things. Go right ahead. And again, I'll give you the minute notice when this section's about done.
Thank you.
Just another minute. All right, let's wrap up this prayer time. I'll give you just a few seconds to close it up. Thank you. Then for our last time, we're going to open this up to the whole group. And again, not everybody loves to pray in front of all the people, but here's what we want to pray as a whole group. Pray for what God is going to do through evangelism shift in the life of your church. We see it already happening, and your stories are affirming of that. So just if there would be just three or four of you, that would just from where you're at, you can stay sitting if you like. Just pray in advance and anticipation of what God is going to do in the life of this church going forward. So, I'll just ask somebody to lead out. Three or four of you want to pray, and then I'll close this section with prayer and then pass it off to Bob for our last section before the break. Somebody lead us off in prayer.
Father, just thank you for bringing Policy Bible to evangelism and helping our path cross. We're already seeing some excitement around the idea of evangelism, and we're seeing more people come to the doors, and we believe that that's God's next thing. And a lot of got there in our group meeting prior to this, and a lot of people coming through the doors right now that are new, early and broken, and we don't believe that's an accident either. So thank you for what you're up to, and help just continue to be able to see the clarity and see you moving. Father. I pray to you, Lord, that we do not. I believe we're going to be a church that's going to transition from deep to a job in the evangelism ministry. It belongs to us all. We all are called. We're all sent. And every one of our acquaintances are people who need Jesus. Lord, I pray that you give us courage.
Thanks, Lord, for these prayers and what you're already doing, what you're already stirring, the results that you're already bringing. May that encourage us as a group, but also individually, to keep asking in prayer, believing, hoping, being thankful before the answers come, and to see you do above and beyond what we can ask or imagine. But we thank you for this. In your name I pray. Amen. Bob, you can start coming here. He's going to give you the next lifestyle priority. But while you were praying, two things triggered. Your prayers about surprise me, whoever said that. If you want to, I'm sure it's out there on Amazon. Somebody from the church that I serve, their relative wrote a book called Surprise Me, God. His name is Terry Esau, E-S-A-U. I assume it's still out there. And it's a book of things like that. It was like you go through the day going, surprise me, God, and see what God does. Second, it was something else you prayed about, the new people coming to church. So we work with a church on Whidbey Island, Washington, beautiful place. The south side of the island is very liberal. The church is a Christian Missionary Alliance, very solid theologically. And they're just like you, the people were starting to change like this. Well, one day, this young couple in their 30s comes walking up to the church, and the church administrative assistant was in her office, and tattoos, rings, piercings. I don't know why I couldn't think of that. And they come to the door, and the administrative assistant who was doing evangelism with us says, hey, can I help you? He says, we're just trying to get our lives in order, and we're just looking for a church that maybe could help us with that. You know, and by looking at them, you'd kind of go, eh. But because of the journey that they were on, she's like, come on in, let's have a visit. And anyway, they visit for a while, and she said, why don't you just come to church on Sunday? I think you're going to like it. And again, people like that who come to your church, who that's not who your church is, you're like, how is this going to go? They were overwhelmed with people coming, hey, man, we're so glad that you're here. They came back the next Sunday. They got saved, and they got baptized on Easter. And these guys are like sponges. So the people who are discipling them are often the couple that we would stay with when we're there. They would have Dave and Fee come over. It's like, how's it going? And they're like, they're just chomping at the bit. He's a disabled vet, motorcycle guy who's got these connections with other disabled vets. And he's got this mission field. So, but I raised that story because as you journey and you're praying for people on your list, it's like God's going to go, I was just waiting for you guys to be thinking in that direction because I've got some folks that I want to bring to your church. And you're going to start looking at them differently and in gospel ways. So I hope that's encouraging because that's what we see in other places. So Bob, take us from there. We're going to have another lifestyle priority.
Turn to pages 12 to 13, and we're going to look at lifestyle priority number 4. Praying regularly by name for the people in my life who don't know Jesus. So, personal effectiveness rating, how you doing right now? Where are you on that? Have you been regularly praying, or are you just starting out? So maybe a 1, maybe today you kind of, okay, yeah, I'm going to start doing that. And then a couple of points that go under that. First is to, let's put that slide up, pray for people. Pray for people. Put that under the action steps. Pray for people, specifically for the next step in their journey towards Jesus. So we're tying this all together. We're going to pray specifically. We got specific names. You're praying specifically. They're at a minus 10. We need to move them to a minus 9. And that ties back into number 3 on your action steps is how you're doing that. But you're not just writing it down, you're making it a part of prayer, and you're asking the Holy Spirit to surprise you with those people. And secondly, pray for circumstances. That sentence again. Pray for circumstances. Open a door, open their hearts, open my mouth. Any comments, any questions about this session on prayer? Any last things you want to say? We have some goodies in the back for you during the break. Take about a 25, 30 minute break. And I'm going to be looking at next, how do we start turning these conversations that we're having to a spiritual conversation? And the first person that answers my question gets to go first to the bagel bar. What kind of animal is a penguin? Bird. You get to go first. So let's take a break, and we'll come back and session number 2. Thanks for being so attentive and sharing so much today. It's a good group.